So Pinheiro missed from 48 last week at Soldier Field. We'll try from 41 on the right hash. Flags slightly moving as the goal post. This is a completely inside stadium as the snap and placement is good. Kick up from 41 yards. It is good for Eddie Pinheiro. Captaining 11 play, 55-yard drive for the Bears. It is 7-3 Giants. 2:22 to go here in the first quarter.
Joe O, night 6-10.
All right, we've got some breaking news involving the Cubs. Yeah, we'll get to the Bears in just a moment. This from Jordan Bastian covers the Cubs for MLB.com. The Cubs have optioned infielder David Bodie to AAA Iowa. No corresponding move announced yet, but Steve Cishek is eligible to come off the injured list on Tuesday. Elmora down. Descalso's been down there for a long time. Zobrist, what's going on? But now Bodie was sent down. They are not waiting on anybody. 38 games left. It's now or it ain't happening. We have no use for you. I don't care. We just extended you. Doesn't matter to us. That makes me wonder about what I said in the last hour about Craig Kimbrel. It feels, even though he struggled, it feels like he is locked into that spot. They're going to go down with Craig Kimbrel as their closer. But they're sending a lot of guys down, and we didn't really see getting sent down, getting demoted to the minors. But then again, none of them making the money Kimbrel is making. But I'm not even talking about sending him down. I'm just talking about losing his role with the team in the first of a three-year deal at $43 million. So, yeah, you're not performing, can't get it done in the field, at the plate, go down. You're going down. We need somebody else. Okay, Russell, you're performing. All right, you're back. They're not going to mess around. And do you really need Bodie at this time? Do you? If somewhere to happen to Baez, you don't want Bodie back at shortstop. Okay, that's interesting. It's certainly worth noting and bringing up that David Bodie has been sent down for the Cubs. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. It would not surprise me if the majority of you listening right now did not spend a second with that Bears exhibition on Friday. The countdown's been on. Let's get there already. Start the season. We're 2.5 weeks away. Exhibition game 204. Come on. We want the season here. Years ago, yes, I will watch that game. I cannot wait for it. Now maybe I'm out of touch with everybody, but it doesn't seem like anybody was watching that game on Friday. And you had no reason to. Many of the players on the field are not going to be on the team. It doesn't matter. They're wearing Bears helmets for maybe a couple of games, a lot of those guys. And this is going on throughout the league. And now there are some coaches that really, truly value the preseason. Look at John Harbaugh's record over the years. Years. Thinks it's very important to win those games. A lot of coaches don't care. Sean McVay, forget about it. Jason Garrett, same deal. Even though the Falcons played Matt Ryan a lot in their last game, Dan Quinn doesn't care about the result. I believe they're 0-11 against the spread, which usually isn't much, in their last 11 exhibition games. Kyle Shanahan the other day, he comes out, he says, we need to reduce or eliminate the preseason. So the younger coaches are completely on board with this. It's criminal, outright criminal, that season ticket holders have to pay full price, no choices, for these two exhibition games at home. Criminal. I don't think season ticket holders would complain if you expand the regular season. This falls into the category of unintended consequences, and I don't think the head coaches are doing the owners a solid or the commissioner, because it's clear that they're on the side of 18 games. Players, depends on the player you talk to. Some would say, well, if we're going to get paid, okay, sure, that's fine. And some think it's downright ridiculous. But it does make you wonder. If the number one goal is to be healthy out of training camp, get out of the preseason healthy, for all of these years, why were football coaches putting their players at risk? Putting the beginning of their regular season at risk. And in some cases, especially when you're talking about quarterbacks out there. We make fun of baseball all the time for being so slow to change. It's such an old sport. Look at the median age. Isn't football just as bad? Look how long it takes for any sort of change here. And I bring up unintended consequences because as the players are fighting for preseason games, as the coaches are fighting these four and in some cases five, like the Bears last year, preseason games. And you have the owners sitting back. They're taking your money for these fake games. Players that won't be on the field. They know what's coming down the road. They're going to get their 18 games. Sure, let's throw an extra bye. Extend the season even longer. And I'm not sure when they would start the regular season. So would they move the regular season up by 2 weeks? Or just push everything back? Let's own all of February, too, and expand the season by 3 weeks. Not sure how they would handle that. When my dad had season tickets in the 80s, 90s, and I believe early 2000s, before he couldn't take it anymore and gave them up, first thing he did, sell those preseason games. There's somebody I know who's dying to go to a Bears game that wouldn't normally have the opportunity. Find that person. Here you go. Have fun. It seems like this thing is a lock right now. We're going to go to 18 regular season games, two preseason games. Then the owners, the commissioner can say, hey, it's the same amount of football, right? Nah, no, it isn't. And you get an extra bye. That will take some getting used to. So a playoff team, what are you searching for? 11 wins? 11-7? To see the really good teams go 12-6? I know this is not why some coaches are refusing to play their guys in the preseason, but this might be a result or part of it. Because you can't continue this. What are we doing here? And what you're doing to the season ticket holders, absolute joke, man. 312-644-6767. Would also like to hear from some Bears season ticket holders on this and how they handle the preseason. Man, why you still have those? Why you still have those season tickets? I guess I get it. You're a diehard Bears fan, but I think you guys miss a lot when you're at the games, actually. Then you can't see anything else going on in the NFL. But I know a lot of people are just Bears fans. They don't care about the rest of the league. I get it. But the NFL is slow to change. Now, it's so powerful, it really doesn't matter that much. But you get so much pushback from Pro Football Focus. Well, they don't know the play, so how can they judge anything? How can you have any kind of metrics? Or Football Outsiders. When I had Aaron Schatz on the show a week ago, should have seen the reaction that I was getting. Because he was talking about what your great defenses will do from 1 year to the next and how difficult it is to perform at that level like the Bears defense did last season. People don't want to buy into anything that they look at. But I always wondered, it's just something to talk about. They're not really going to get 18 games. I think they're getting it. They're going to expand the season that people care about by 3 weeks with the bye into regular season games. They're going to get what they want. They always seem to get what they want, the NFL. 312-644-6767. Herbie and Studs, you on board with me? Are we going to see 18 games in the near future? I think it's a lock.
I think conversations are already started about that type of thing because players don't want it. Owners definitely want 18 games, but they have to give something back and they'll get that extra bye and maybe expanded one more playoff team in the...
Is that really giving something back, though, Herb?
What?
Just the extra bye? Okay. Oh, now we're going to... I don't know if they'll put it at the back end, but now they're going to dominate for another month.
Yeah, but it's like it's seen as like, hey, we don't want that extra thing.
Yeah.
It's you hold on for it for negotiation's sake, and then, okay, we'll give you that extra buy if you really want it type of thing. And so, yeah, it's a win-win for everybody when it comes to it. No one likes these preseason games. Like you said, Matt Nagy's not playing anybody in it, and why would you? The college teams, like Danny Parkins brought up, college doesn't do
That's
it.
Right.
High school doesn't do it. You just hit the ground running. You do little scrimmages at your facility with no tackling. You can run your plays on full speed without getting hurt, and you can control what's going on instead of doing these fake games that you risk you put your guys to injury. And, ask Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
And how did the Bears look in last year's season opener in the first half against the Packers?
Solid.
Were you concerned? See, if they would have played some in the preseason. No, that was thrown completely out the window. And then Sean McVay, they run to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
I mean, did Khalil Mack have any preseason? Did Roquan Smith have any preseason? Did they look good last year?
He only played 13% of snaps in the season opener. He could have played all game, I'm sure. And look what he did with no camp, right?
I mean, it's not like the olden days when people get to camp to get in shape. People stay
That's
in
right.
shape
yep.
year long. And, yeah, there's difference between regular shape and football shape, but you couldn't tell that between those two guys, Roquan and Khalil Mack.
Yeah, no question. Good points, Herb. Thanks for jumping in. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Pete in Deerfield, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't think I could say it any better than Herbie just did. If they have to play preseason games, maybe teams would approach it more practically if it was one home, one away, and that was it. I'd love to see a second bye week in an 18-game regular season. Yeah. I would enjoy that as a football fan. That's not why I called.
Sure.
I'm still stuck on Trubisky, and I don't think that he ever will mature beyond being maybe a middle-of-the-pack, 15th to 20 best quarterback in the league. I don't think he ever breaks the top 10. I don't think he's bound for, the Hall of Fame or anything like that. I'll hang up and hear your thoughts. I'd love to see him mature, but I don't think he ever becomes one of the greatest quarterbacks in Bears history. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the phone call, Pete.
First of all, it doesn't take much to become one of the best quarterbacks in Bears history.
This is accurate. This
is a short list.
So it's a short list. So
there are some that would make the argument that Jay Cutler's that guy based on numbers alone.
He is.
It's because he is. Yeah. But, anyway,
let Mitch have another good year.
I can't really counter that because of the rest of the list.
Exactly. So I just had to throw that out there. He could throw if he throws 30 touchdowns in a season, that's already a Bears record and puts him in the conversation.
Okay.
You know?
Let's start here. I understand if you believe that he'll never break through the middle of the pack and be a top 15 quarterback. I understand if that's your opinion based on what you've seen so far after two full seasons in the league. I flush that first year. I really do. I'm starting to compare Trubisky to the second-year guys. And I know he's going to be linked to Mahomes and Watson forever because they were drafted. He was the first one drafted in the same year. I get it. Dowell Loggins and John Fox, okay? And it was going to be Mike Glennon's year. I'm sorry. I'm flushing that season. I'm looking at Trubisky with Darnold, guys that came out last season. Something else you want to remember if you're just going to say, well, he'll never be a top 15 quarterback. And if you have a great defense, you don't need him to be a top 15 quarterback. Okay, probably more the exception to the rule, though. Think of where we are, though, in 2019, because I think people are used to saying that you have to have a quarterback that's in the top half of the league, and so we keep saying it. But look at the number of quality quarterbacks in this league right now. You can rattle off 15 guys that can go win a Super Bowl right now with the right parts around them. You can go Breeze. Not that he's the best. I'm just throwing names out there. Breeze, Mahomes. Luck was awesome last year. Brady, of course, with all the rings, still getting it done. Phillip Rivers. Matt Ryan, an MVP. I think Winston could have a big year with Arians in his contract season. Russell Wilson. Wentz, if he can stay healthy, could be a monster. Of course, Aaron Rodgers. That's 10 right there. So I know you want him to slide in that range right behind him. Baker Mayfield, what's he going to do with all these weapons in Cleveland this season? So if he isn't technically top 15, doesn't mean he can't win. Doesn't mean he isn't a pretty good quarterback.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, guys. I mean,
level. I mean, we can do that if you want. We can say Dilfer too. We can do that. But I wouldn't freak out if the second year of Nagy's offense isn't a top 15 quarterback. We're still seeing the development of a young QB who barely played in college. And I'm not trying to make excuses. In fact, the Bears are removing those excuses themselves, the pieces around him. They spent the money on Robinson last year, now second year off the ACL. They gave up the draft capital for Anthony Miller to move up. They gave up the draft capital to move up and land David Montgomery and give him a better backfield. There's continuity on the offensive line. My point here is it's too early to make that statement. Now, if you're worried about it, I get it. There are reasons because of the lack of accuracy. And that's what we were sold on his Tar Heels days. Whoa, this guy is so accurate. You don't lose your accuracy. He's going to succeed at the next level because of his accuracy. Well, let's see. Let's see. Third year in the league, second year in this offense, bunch of weapons around him. And don't forget Patterson and Cohen. I think he probably won't be in the backfield as much as he was a year ago. Mike Davis is still going to be a part of this. And hopefully you get the Trey Burton that you were looking for in free agency. So he's going to have the weapons. Where are the excuses going to be? Because it's a big ask if you're saying defense, do that again. It's not going to happen. So now he needs to take a couple of steps forward if they want to be back in the playoffs. You want to join the conversation, 312-644-6767. Also the kickers. There's one guy left. Does that mean he's going to be kicking on September 5th for the Bears? I don't think so. Get to that next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
So because of the sack, it's now a 47-yard try for Elliott Fry. And he pushed it wide to the left. The plot only thickens.
That was Adam Amin on the call for Fox. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The Score, yeah, I know you saw over the weekend. Maybe it's a surprise to some. Elliott Fry was waived, down to one kicker. Eddie Pinheiro is the guy. But I got to say here that if there's a prop bet available, you get Eddie Pinheiro or the field as week one kicker for the Bears, I would probably lean towards the field. And it's a good thing that they, you know, if they understood that, okay, Fry's not our guy, don't waste any time. Don't get kicks away from Pinheiro. I was good with that move 100%. Once they knew Fry's not the guy, okay, move on. Give Pinheiro more opportunities, and when someone is available, bring them in if you're not sold on Pinheiro completely. I like the move that they made there. And we're sitting here a couple of weeks before the season opener, and we don't know who the Bears kicker is going to be. Hoping we weren't going to be in this position after Cody Parkey, the double doink, the Today Show and all that, but here we sit. Joe Ostrowski with you on The Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the 25th-ranked Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and more. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Let's head out to Naperville. Mark, you're on The Score.
Hey, my comment is just going back to Mitch. If you got a quarterback in the top half of the league year in, year out, every single year, you're going to be able to build a great team around them. You don't need, you know, a superstar to win. Look at Eli Manning. He won 2 Super Bowls. Nobody considers this guy an all-time great. So I'll hang up and listen to what you say.
But it'll be going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, well, it depends. So when
you really think Eli's a Hall of Famer? I guess it's a whole other conversation.
You can bring it up.
I
agree with it? No, but he's going to be.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't think he should be, but he's going to be.
What's the name on the back of his jersey?
Manning.
Yeah, he's going to be.
Yeah, you're right.
And he had those 2 epic moments in Super Bowls, too. And it's New York. He's going to be. 100%. Point taken on if you have a top 15 quarterback, you have a good shot at winning every single year. And Mitch is teetering on that level. I would put him in that 15 to 20 mark. We had a caller tonight that said, hey, he's not going to break that 15 to 20 range. It's too early to say that. Now, if you want to say that at the end of the season, and he's healthy most of the year, that's completely understandable. After 3 years in the league, couple years in this offense, he's not there yet. If it's an uneven season like it's been a reportedly uneven training camp, then I understand. What the Bears want outside of playoff victories this time around, but what they also want is to have the ability to get together at the end of the season and say, this is our guy, let's sign him up long term like the Eagles did with Carson Wentz this offseason. Get him off that rookie contract. Let's do what we can to help this cap out because it's going to start to get ugly. Khalil Mack, that cap hit's going to double next year compared to what it is now. Leonard Floyd, more than double. I think it's 2.5 times. So it's only going to get more and more difficult to maneuver that. Southside Terry, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, how you guys? I just wanted to say that Trubisky, I didn't really believe in him, but in that big game against Philly, he let us down there. He took the Bears down there. He took him down there.
He did.
And that's a winning quarterback.
Terry,
that's a winning quarterback.
He did, Terry, but where was he for about 2 to 3 quarters?
Okay. Well, it was a tough game. In a playoff, in a big time game, even the Patriots, other teams, come on, man. Remember the Patriots shoveled off the field? You need a big field goal. Teams, it comes down. The playoffs come down to tight games. He took him down there.
Yes.
I just believe it. He took him down there. And if he at least as good as Stafford, somebody like that, I'm all right with it. All right?
Thank you,
Terry. My call.
Yeah. Ever since that first week in January, we've heard so many times, well, hey, Trubisky let him down the field. It was crunch time. They got in field goal position. That's fine. What happened before that?
Here's the counter.
How many points did they put on the board for that game?
Here's the counter to that, though. He's far from the first quarterback to struggle in the first half of a playoff game and then turn it on when he needs to. You know, that's not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not too worried about that part. I'm worried about, like, look, if you're playing bad in the first half, fine. If you're playing great in the fourth quarter when they need you to, that's what I care about. Unless your first half is so bad that it's, like, completely detrimental. And it hurt them, yeah, but it didn't lose them the game by him playing badly in the first half.
Yeah, I just push back when people constantly just put everything on that game on Parkey.
But also, the fourth quarter counts as much as the first quarter.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, playing bad in any quarter, it counts as much as the last.
If he was putting points up early, maybe the Eagles don't have an opportunity to get back in.
Yeah, you put the defense in a great position to put their, you know, just to go right after the quarterback. So, yeah, when people put more weight in the fourth quarter than the first, I always got to bounce back against
because
that.
It's
well,
more
the
difficult
great
to
ones
perform in the fourth quarter when the pressure's on. That's why.
The great ones, yeah, they do have those fourth quarter comebacks. That's part of it.
I think we as a society put more pressure in the fourth quarter. They're literally the same. Literally the same.
They're not, though. It's different. It's
no.
different to perform in the fourth quarter than in the first.
No.
It's different.
No. That's,
yes, it is.
That's self-imposed pressure. The actual game, the minutes count the same. The people on the field are pretty much the same. It's
but at the
same.
End of the fourth quarter with 50 seconds left, you have to score now. There's no, oh, we got the second quarter coming up.
Herbert,
no,
if you score that might be your one extra possession that you have over the opposition. We know in this league that it's in many cases, flip the coin. There's so many point spreads, 3 points or fewer, that it is so tight. And a lot of times you have that one extra possession, and that's the last possession of the game.
Yeah, but these are because you failed or the other team succeeded
Absolutely. Earlier
in the game. If you succeed in the first quarter, the fourth quarter is null and void. But I think the best players in the fourth quarter and what everybody like Adam, like all the people who talk about crunch time and clutch talk about is the players that maintain their level of play. They don't rise to the occasion. They just like, you know what? This is just football. It doesn't matter how much time is left. That's why Tom Brady's so smooth. He's like, okay, cool. I got what? A minute to go? Smooth. It's like the first quarter. We can do that. 2 minute drill. Let's go.
I think
it's the same thing.
They're
not like the first quarter. Two minutes left in the fourth quarter is different than 2 minutes left in the first quarter, Herb.
That's because you got that mentality.
It's not, though, because with 2 minutes left in the fourth, literally, if you don't score, the game is over. 2 minutes left in the first, oh, he's got the second quarter coming up. It's cool. It's
exactly.
Different.
That mentality, you should have that mentality in the first quarter because every play counts.
Why are you trying to rush yourself with 2 minutes left in the first? That's
because,
what I'm saying.
Because if you get those points right there, you don't have to get those
but
points
you don't
in
have
the fourth.
To, you don't need to rush with 2 minutes left in the first quarter because there's more time coming up. Literally, you don't have to run a two-minute offense with 2 minutes left in the first. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that's your mentality is messed up. You should always have a fourth quarter mentality in the first, second, third, and fourth because those points count
so
the
you're
same.
So you're trying to say this that they should be running a two-minute offense every single possession of every single
no,
game.
No, I'm just saying.
That's what your logic is saying right now.
No, my logic is saying that if you think that it is more hyped, more pressure in the fourth quarter, you should have that and you perform better in that type of atmosphere. You should feel that way in the first quarter because you perform better that way. The best just keep that, maintain that same base level of play throughout the game because they know the points count the same in the first quarter as they do in the fourth. It's not rock and jock. You don't step back to a 20-point game. It's the same points. So you got to keep that mentality throughout the game. And that's why good teams do it. Good teams put the pressure on initially because they know that every play counts, every block counts, every second counts, and not waiting to the fourth quarter to get pressurized and get all worked up. They count the same,
Adam.
I think
we're trying to make two different points here.
The textures bring up a couple of really solid points here. One, Herb is drunk.
Yes.
And another one, Joe, you said Manning had those two magical moments in the Super Bowl. When did they happen? The fourth quarter. Well, yeah, because we remember. Because it was at the very end, and then the opposition gets very little opportunity to come back and win the game.
Tell me what clutch, and like I don't like to bring it back, but what clutch situation did...
I mean, like in baseball, Herb, so you don't
believe...
You don't believe in runners in scoring position, that that's even a thing then, right? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't believe in clutch.
I do.
I think that players who maintain the same level of play throughout, they are seen as clutch because they come above all the people who supposedly choke. People who, like Adam, have that mentality of, man, this is the last quarter. We got to do everything right now. Instead of just playing, you know, the same way you played through the first three quarters.
You made that sound a lot more panicky than I was trying to come off.
I think that's just part of being a human being. There's no way you're going to play a drive in the middle of the second quarter the same as the last one of the game.
But why?
Because you're a human being.
It's dumb.
And the game, you don't have the mentality that the game is on the line right then and there.
In the middle of the second quarter, you're going to call more running plays. You're going to play a little more time of possession, especially if you already have a lead at that point. In the fourth quarter, if you're trailing by six and there's 2 minutes left, you need to score. So you're going to pass more. You're not looking to take time off
the clock. You know what Nagy's going to call if it's a playoff game? A really bad game.
Do you know why? Do you know why you're back against the wall?
Because
you had that mentality. We have, oh, man, we got the fourth quarter, so we'll just relax. We'll chill out on this third quarter. You know what? Have that fourth quarter mentality going through the first three.
That's not always the case, though. Sometimes that's how games go. Sometimes it might not be because you called something different in the second quarter. It's just how the game went.
NFL teams are good. If you aren't successful, if you don't have this great offensive success rate, it doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing or you're not trying.
But
football's not easy.
Was Mitch balling that first quarter?
Hell no.
Was Mitch balling that second quarter?
Herb, I brought it up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If he would have played the way he played in the last quarter, the Bears would have won that game handedly. Tell me about the 85 Bears. Did they have a clutch moment in the fourth quarter?
They just stomped on your neck.
Why didn't they have a Why didn't they have a fourth quarter? Because they beat people to death.
I think this is funny because 20 minutes ago, Herb was talking to me about how sick he is about the 85 Bears, and he brings them up.
Well, it's a fair example.
I'm just saying, like, if
he is.
If
no, he's right.
If
he's
you
right.
do your work early, you won't have to do it late.
You're right. You're not wrong about that. I was trying to make the point that 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter is different than 2 minutes left in the first. It's just, it is. It's literally different because in one situation, the time is running out, and it's the fact that you need to score and you need to score quicker. You don't need to do that in the first quarter. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's Adam Soziski along with Herb Lawrence. That's what it's like behind the scenes, folks.
That mentality's all wrong.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But it happens.
And these
Every team wants to win by multiple scores.
As you were speaking about earlier about this this slow to change mentality of football, baseball, they're like, we're set in our ways. You come out right. You won't have to struggle late. You come out like a first quarter and think that, man, we have no plays to take off. We have no quarters to take off because of the fourth.
Herb's running two-minute offense every
play. Let's go. Hey, man, we ain't trying to make friends out there. You're trying to win.
All right, you guys are filling up the phone line, so we might wait on Joe Maddon. People want to check in on this topic. 312-644-6767 if you want to join the conversation. Joe Ostrowski with you. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Hint Water. Hint is pure still or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint. Mouth-watering water. We'll get to your calls and your reaction coming up after the break. Top of the hour at 8 o'clock. A lot of Cubs conversation that hour because Michael Cirami and Luis Medina from Bleacher Nation, they also do the Cubs post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago. They're going to join me in studio, so that should be a lot of fun. Joe O. Show on The Score.
You're listening to The Joe O. Show on 670 The Score.
Sometimes you have the show mapped out, and arguments just happen on air. That's the joy of sports radio. And as you know, when you're talking sports with your buddies, that's exactly what happens. The text line's all against Herb. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The Score, top of the hour. Michael Cirami, Luis Medina, Bleacher Nation, they will be joining me in studio at 8 o'clock. So a lot of Cubs conversation coming your way. You want to join this conversation, 312-644-6767. Norm in Romeoville, what's on your mind?
Hey, Joe. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say that I agree with Herbie.
Okay.
I just want to say you should play every game like it's the seventh game of the World Series, every game like it's the seventh game of the Stanley Cup, and every game like it's the Super Bowl. Go out there, have fun, but win the damn game.
All right, thanks,
you
Norm. Yep, appreciate it. Yes, that's a beautiful world. I'd love to be in that world. But if you're telling me a random drive in the second or third quarter means exactly the same as the final one of the game, when maybe you have that extra possession that the opposing team didn't have, I don't know if we can go there. I mean, you look at some of the all-time quarterbacks and what they do in crunch time, it's different. It's different, and I'm not all in saying runners in scoring position is some sort of a clutch gene, and take a look what they do at the end of the game, run, you know, with two outs, what are they doing in the ninth? I don't know. That might be a little bit more random in a sport where you fail 7 out of 10 times. But when in football, I definitely think it's a thing. Tim and Carroll Stream, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, Joe. How's it going, man?
Hey, doing well.
Oh, good to hear. Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment and say I don't want to necessarily blame Mitch or say that he was at fault for that playoff loss. Yes, I agree. He should have made more plays earlier on in the game because, you know, you got to pick your offense up in the playoffs. You got to elevate your game. That goes for everybody. Our defense always is going to keep us in game, so we don't have to worry about that. But Mitch definitely should have made more plays in the first half. Playing in the fourth quarter is great, but you need to – start that game from start to finish, man. You know, it's a playoff game. You're in the playoffs to get there to win a Super Bowl, and you just got to make plays from start to finish, man.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. All part of the development. And 2019 is going to be huge. That's what we need to remember, too, when we're comparing to some of the other quarterbacks. I know it's difficult when he goes before Watson and Mahomes, but look at the surrounding weapons that those quarterbacks walked into. Look at the coaching staffs in place that he had. Now, I'm not even a big Bill O'Brien fan, but he also has Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the game. I mean, on that short list for quite some time, and Watson with Houston. So it's not completely a level playing field, and I'm not looking to make excuses for Mitch. I mean, this is it. This is the year. If you still have a lot of questions at the end of the season and say they're not a playoff team, at the end of the year you might say, okay, we hope he develops. We hope that he could be a top 15 guy for us, but we need to start looking. I think that's completely fair. He turns 26 years old tomorrow. And you want to make that call on that rookie deal. So that's completely understood. Mentioned Elliott Fry's gone. Eddie Pinheiro is the only one left, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be their kicker once we get to week one, September 5th here. They're going to be scouring the waiver wire. And what I did like, they've been aggressive with all these kickers throughout the process. You go back to rookie camp, same deal. Is once they identify that Fry is not the guy, move on. There's no point in wasting any time with him and taking kicks away from Pinheiro. It doesn't make sense. Also, we were discussing what's going on in the league with players not hitting the field that much. Now, some of the old school coaches, you are seeing it. With Belichick and Andy Reid, a bunch of the guys, highly regarded here, won a lot, that are still playing their guys. But there's a bit of a changing of the guard with the younger coaches. And what does this all mean? With the conversation in the league, one of the big ones going on right now about an 18-game schedule. I don't know how you can still go with four games. And if your team's in the Hall of Fame game five, you can't do this anymore. It's ridiculous. Not only for the season ticket holders, just your average fan. It just feels like they're not even playing preseason games. I didn't know anybody that went out of their way to make sure that they got to see Bears-Giants. Most people DVR'd it, and I know a lot of people that just went and did the big delete. Studs, you're probably the biggest Bears fan that I know. What was your plan on Friday at 7? No, was it 6?
I went to Medieval Times with my friends and not once considered turning the Bears game on.
Medieval Times.
Yeah. Also, my roommate wanted to go there. It was his birthday. I guess he said something about wanting to go there, and so one of my other friends ran with it, so we went there. I'd actually never been there, so I was like, all right, I'm down. Let's do it.
No, I haven't gone either.
It was okay. It wasn't like...
That's not
honestly,
a ringing endorsement.
Honestly, for the price you pay, I don't know if it was worth it. But it was cool. Like,
you
it was
got
fun
a lot
hanging
of food,
out, but,
right?
Yeah, you get a lot of food. Food's good. But the show and everything, it was okay. It wasn't what I expected.
Did
it
you
to
go
be.
Out there? I don't even know. Do they do that?
What do you mean?
Bring you out there? To
no,
joust.
No. You sit, and you watch.
You didn't joust?
No, I
thought you were
going to
joust
man.
Herb last segment.
No, I was getting close. No, that I wouldn't. Oh man, I wouldn't volunteer for that. You kidding me? That's like too close to natural selection, man. I'm not getting on a horse and riding with a giant stick towards another human being. No, hell no.
That's a fair point, certainly. 312-644-6767. Also, it came out tonight, if you missed it, Bears fans, that Mike Ditka will be placing the first legal wager inside the state of Indiana. So it happens in Jersey 15 months ago. They beat Illinois to the punch. They're going to have sports betting in week one because they're going to open up the day before Bears-Packers, and then they pick Mike Ditka. They get Ditka to come over.
Go Bears!
15 miles only from Soldier Field. A lot of legal bets placed at the Horseshoe, I believe, but there's going to be a bunch of sports books opening up for week one. Short drive. You'll be hearing the commercials. I'm positive. I've got to get over there and check out the scene. It looks pretty good. It looks better than the setup that they have at some of the Iowa sports books, which opened up last Thursday. So that'll be fun. Nothing to do on a Saturday or Sunday? Get your buddies together. Let's take the short drive. Go over to an Indiana sports book. Then you get the app. Then once you're in the state, you can bet legally anytime. Problem is, once you cross the state lines, then you can't do that. It's not going to work on your phone because they have it geofenced. FYI, if you're considering doing that, I've been hearing from a lot of people over the last week that decided that's where I'm going to go. Studs, you are getting some backup here. First date plays, really?
Oh, man, I don't know about that. I don't know. You can't like do enough. See, all right, that's a
heavy dinner, a long night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's a bad. See, here's the thing. I someone told me about this a while back. I'm not going to any place on a first date where you're not gonna be able to have a good conversation. Like medieval times, you're not having a good conversation. Like there's too much going on. It's like a movie is a bad thing to do on a first date. You need to be able to talk.
Yes, you know.
So you got to go to a bar or sit down at a restaurant, someplace you can talk. So that's terrible first date idea.
Yeah, yeah. The other news I mentioned, Dicka. That's not really news. That's just interesting that they're kind of sticking it to Illinois once again. But about an hour ago, it came out that David Bodie, going down to the minors, another Cubs player demoted. So let's break down everything going on with the Cubs. We'll do that next, right at 8 o'clock, a few minutes. The guys are already hanging out in studio. They're ready to go. Michael Cerami, Luis Medina from Bleacher Nation. You also see him on Outside the Ivy after Cap and the boys on the Cubs postgame show. They're going to join me right here. So keep it here for some great Cubs conversation on Sports Radio 670, The Score.